Welcome to the Next Level Human Podcast. As a human, you have a job to do. In fact, you have four jobs: to earn and manage money, to attain and maintain health and fitness, to build and sustain personal relationships, to find meaning and make a difference. None of these jobs are taught in school. And that is what this podcast is designed to do: to educate us all on living our most fulfilled lives through the mastery of these four jobs. I'm your host, Dr. Jade Tita, and I believe we are here living this life for three reasons and three reasons only: to learn, to teach, and to love. In this podcast, I will be learning, teaching, and loving right along with you. I'm grateful to have your company. Here's to our next level. Welcome to the show, everybody. I want to tell you a little bit about my guest as we get started. I'm here with Ashley Renard, and let me tell you a little bit how I got introduced to her. A friend of mine, Chase Tuning, had Ashley on his podcast. And as I was watching the podcast, I was thinking to myself, okay, so this woman is very interesting and has some very interesting ideas about relationships and marriages and all the things around long-term relationship. Now, all of you know that most of you know my story. For those of you who don't, about a decade ago, I got myself in a situation, my midlife, some people call it a crisis. I would call it a midlife awakening. I had an affair. The woman I was having an affair with, who was also married, had a third affair that I was the one that found out about. And so I was in what I would call a betrayal sandwich. And I'm really saying this to all you listeners, you know, and I'm kind of setting this up for Ashley. And this betrayal sandwich was, you know, of course, two pieces of bread, my betrayal and then being betrayed. And then, of course, the biggest betrayal, which was the meat in the middle of the sandwich, which was self-betrayal. And I have, sort of worked the last decade dealing with
you this. Yes. Continue.
Yeah. Right. And so Ashley's just, me and Ashley are meeting for the first time today. So all of you going to be in on this conversation. And when I heard her speak, I was like, you know, for the last decade, and this is sort of me queuing up the first question for you, Ashley. But for the last decade, as I've been deep diving into relationship research, is a big part of what I do. And, you know, I've kind of always done this. I actually did a stint as a couples counselor even before my marriage. But I've generally begun to see relationships as problematic for several reasons. And not that they're not beautiful, but my major thing is that I do think there's a potential that they keep us from ourselves because of the way culture sets these things up. And so my first sort of question for you, as I heard you speak on this, is that you kind of specialize, from my perspective, and we're just getting to know each other, in how to make, you know, long-term relationships interesting, how to make them last. But perhaps what I got from you is that maybe you and I do share a particular view on relationships, and that is the idea that relationships should be growing you, or at least putting you in a position where you get to know yourself better. And so I really just found you so interesting and your thoughts so interesting. And I just wanted to get you on. And so let me ask the first question for you: your take on relationships and as far as personal development. How do we get in relationship and essentially take care of ourselves while taking care of others? And is this even possible, and to what degree, and how do you see this?
Yeah, thank you, Jade, for that introduction and for all of this, because my brain is buzzing even more than usual. I told Jade before we got on that thinking is an extreme sport, like X Games for me. It occurs in my
brain.
Gotta
get ready.
Yeah, because there is, like, when you start asking a question, there is no bottom for me. You know, just like, and I go down weird rabbit holes. But when I, when I'm asking a question, like you just asked, for my writing and for my life, I would say that relationships have to have clearer agreements than what we walk into in, you know, civilization at this time, right? Patriarchal society that's like becoming a little bit more progressive, right? People are getting married as they get a little older, or some people still get married younger. Like there's like more, you know, there's more gray, there's more variation. But when a man and a woman marry each other, or when a man and a woman partner in a long-term dating situation, both come in with assumptions about their gender roles. And they may be different, which is something I found out. Well, something I knew, but never really, really understood about my relationship with my partner of 20 years, who I wrote about in Swing, who I have recently left that marriage. Our marriage ended earlier in the year, and I moved out in March. That we can't make assumptions about anything. So just like when I was coaching athletes, because I coached synchronized skating for 23 years before retiring to focus on my writing and really diving into like people's thoughts about relationships and the struggles that couples are having. And the thing that I found with my skaters all the time, was that in order to get them to cooperate, in order to foster cooperation, in order to foster that morale and that willingness to be influenced by each other. Because I think that willingness to be influenced is one of the most crucial parts of harmony in any relationship. Like that, like, you know, Jade, like I would push you and say like, wait a minute, is that really the best idea? And you would go like, I trust this person to say, whoa, I think that your values line up with like maybe taking, you know, like the people who can keep you aligned with you, you know, like I think if the kind of partnership I think that would be ideal it for me at this point in my life. And I'm just thinking in a general way, maybe this is like a way that it could work, like be beneficial. That's what I'm saying. Like, what is the benefit of long-term partnership? Because I leaving a marriage as a woman can't really think of one aspect of our relationship where I got a better deal. Like not one. So I'm like, why in the world, if I knew it was going to be like that, but I just thought, oh yeah, we'll get married. But what married was for me and married was for him were two different things, right? Like I thought we were equals from day one, and like he never expected, like he was never willing to be like, yeah, we're equals. It's like, we're close, you know? So what I'm thinking is dream partner, I think would understand your values and what integrity is to you, so that when you're acting out of integrity, they could be like a mirror and say, hey, I know the best version of you would want you to do this. And to be heard. I think that that's a way, and then it would go both ways. I think that's a way that you could have that tension then that could help with the attraction in the bedroom, right? Because outside the bedroom, you're already like intentionally kind of just holding the space for each other. I think when we walk into marriage or relationships and say, yeah, we're going to be together, it's like, for what purpose? To what end? Like, just so you don't have to watch Netflix alone? Like, what are we doing together? You know, like, I think that going into my next relationships, I'm going to be asking myself what it is about being with that person that makes my life better, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So this is definitely why I wanted to speak with you, because I feel like, and I'll just sort of throw this out here, and I would just love for you and I to debate this. One of the things that I feel, and I think you may be speaking to, but I'm not exactly sure, is that what we do is we enter in relationships from a cultural perspective, right? So I have this thing that I call PMK, prom, marriage, kids. And the culture essentially sets this up that we go, look, first you go to the prom, right? And some people even plan losing their virginity around the prom. So you go to the prom, you know, then, you know, you might go to college just as sort of a place so that you can support a marriage. And then once you get married, you have kids. And my contention is, and by the way, from my perspective, there's no judgment in this. And to me, I think that story is beautiful if it's chosen from a place of self-awareness and you know this is what you want.
Well, Jade, I don't think anyone in their 20s could have enough consistency in their behavior or self-awareness to really be zeroed in on their values and what integrity is for themselves. Never mind, like, hold someone else. I think it's really funny. And I interrupted you, but I think it's really funny that when we are so young, we are culturally expected to go, that's my one forever. That's my forever person, right? Because, like, you know, and Esther Perel has written about this a lot. What we think marriage is has evolved really, really, really quickly in our consciousness. Or what we want, you know, great sex, soulmate, cheerleader, you know, hands-on, you know, co-parent, or like all these things. Whereas, like, just a couple generations ago, it was like, oh, I can't own property unless I'm married as a woman. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like, you know, there was no choice for women at all. And then it was the expected for men too, right? So it's just, but that's shifted so radically.
Well, and so here's the interesting thing from my perspective, that cultural narrative that we fall into, to me, I go, has it shifted, or has that model just essentially fallen apart? Because from my perspective is the model has been shown to be broken. And I think people are essentially going, and now they're beginning to question it. Many people. Now, many of you listeners may be in a position where you're like, well, I'm not questioning it. I think this is the way it should be. But from my perspective, I go, this prom marriage kid sort of, you know, cultural narrative, I think both men and women are struggling with. And I would submit that this is, that women have been most harmed by this, in a sense, which is why I like to talk to women, because I think this model, I think, has kind of kept women in a box, historically speaking. And men also are now struggling to adjust when women just go, hey, I want to be my own woman. I don't know what I really need you for anymore.
So I have a real idea about this right now, Jade. Mm. I have a real idea about this. It's new. It's freshly baking. Okay. Mm. I mean, it's an idea I've had for a lot, but like some of these experiences you actually have to feel, right? Like in healing work and personal growth, like I feel it more in my body, you know, even more than like the words dropping in. But patriarchal society and traditional gender roles with a woman. Well, okay. And listen, and this isn't revolutionary what I'm going to say, excuse me, but my feelings and like body feeling understanding of like what this feels like or doesn't feel like with a partner. I can feel it now. Like it's very easy to identify. So traditional gender roles have a woman serving, right? Serving, caring for. And then the man outworking, and then, you know, providing the money, but like never providing any like care in the house, right? Like traditionally. So, but when we look at the divine feminine's job is to receive, to be worshiped, to be like, you know, fed, to be like adorned, to be like, you know, caressed, like to receive. But most women are in a very doing, which is like more masculine energy role. And they think it is never, ever safe for them to stop controlling and stop doing, because throughout the day, I mean, especially with little kids. Do you have kids, Jade?
I don't.
Okay. So especially with
by little choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have three by choice. My perfect number. When kids are little, if you are not on the top of your fucking game, like, you know, like, okay, wait a minute. Like we're at the airport. What is that? Like radio controller. What's that called? That job? Air traffic controller. Okay.
Yeah.
You are not fucking air traffic controller, attentive to your kids, someone might fucking die, or they're going to make a mess that you're going to have to clean up again, or they're going to bump the sibling who's then going to have a tantrum because they missed the nap. Like, and then you're not going to be able to get your work done before you have to go to the rink. Like me. Okay. So the amount of stress and like hypervigilance required to keep it all afloat is the opposite of like the surrender receiving mode. And I get a lot of DMs from women who have a really hard time climaxing, and from men whose partners have a really hard time climaxing. Either they're faking, or I think just a lot of people are in the dark about faking, like a lot of like 90% of people. Like, I don't understand, because from the very first time I was intimate with a partner, I was like, oh no, my pleasure is like why we're here. You know what I mean? Like, I had like, well, yours too. Like, that's like, it can be, you know, like there's reciprocity, but it's like, no, that's like not right. So I've never faked an orgasm because I was like, that's a slippery slope. And no, like my pleasure is worth too much. But so many women so many women can't even say that to themselves now. Whereas like, you know, I did back, right? As a young adult. So there's just so much protection, I think, that women put up and then men put up because they're like trying to fulfill like the roles in the right way. We're just kind of bumping up against each other in uncomfortable ways. Like, we're expending all of this energy and nothing's getting better because we're not actually asking different questions. We're not actually feeling into our feelings of disappointment around our disconnection from our spouse. You know, like looking in, to be honest with yourself, I think is one of the reasons that people don't confront their partner about their dishonesty, you know, or being out of integrity, because they don't want a mirror held up to them either.
Yeah. And this is my entire point. From my perspective, I think the reason this is the issue is because we rush into relationships. Absolutely. To me, you're speaking of, you know, divine masculine and divine feminine, you know, in a sense. And I think we get this wrong. These are archetypes, right? So it's not, you know, we're not talking gender here or sex. We're talking these archetypes. And to me, the job is to marry yourself first. You know, to me, the best man is the balance of masculine and feminine within himself. The best woman is the balance of masculine and feminine within herself. To me, my contention is, and one of the reasons I want to talk to you about this, is that what we do is our culture is set up around find a person instead of find yourself. And to me, I go, this to me is the problem. And then we end up in these situations where we have kids, we're in these long-term relationships, and we're living for someone else, we're expected to. And then we wake up one day and go, I don't even know who I am, and I don't even know why I'm here.
It's okay. So this is my hypothesis, okay? Or this is my utopia, my future utopia. All right. That in, hopefully it happens fast, Jade, but it may be 1,000 years. Historians will look back and they will teach about this period of time where humans thought they should be monogamous, or they thought they should be married. They thought they should be married like this. Okay. It became very, very hard to co-parent my children with my husband. And I had to pick one. I had to pick one because I was like, am I going to fight and advocate for myself and the values I want for my kids every day? Or am I going to like be adored and adoring to my partner? You know what I mean? Because those are like completely different energies. So you know what I think? Because I'm glad I have kids, but I think we should have kids by ourselves. I think we should have, like, if I want to have kids, like, you're not allowed to marry the parent of your children. Like, it has to be separate. They're your kids. They're not our kids. You don't share kids. So I think, you know, And you have lots of friends around and aunts and uncles, and like maybe you date really great people for 2 to 5 years or whatever throughout their, I don't know. I don't think we need to be so afraid about the labels that we put on people, right? Like, even remember, and it's still there, but it's like we're kind of past this, but we're not. It's like the stigma around step parents, right? Like, I think everyone. No. Sim. Those traditional rules do serve some people. They do, right? Like some people are probably a match for that, right?
100%, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's a really small portion of society who can, you know, just walk into that, like in their, like as a young adult and like, yes, and it's great. So like, you know, most marriages end in divorce, right? Are we at 50% or more than 50%? And then
we're slightly above 50%.
And then a lot of those marriages that stay together aren't happy, right? Yep. So like the marrieds aren't okay. And I've been trying to figure out like, what is it about this? And this is the one thing that keeps coming up. Like men would love for their wives to be more receptive in the bedroom. Like love for them. Okay. And this is for your audience here. This is like kind of graphic, maybe not. The biggest comment I get in my DMs is that men wish they could go down on their partner more often and for longer, but their partner isn't into it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because women are so uncomfortable receiving. Like all the shame comes up about their body or this or that, like not that they're not deserving. It's like all of these, or if they had someone say something about, you know, their vulva before, or they have like shame about blah, blah, you know, pick a reason. But that divine, I think that we need to, and I mean, that's why having conversations like this is important. And a big article just came out in New York Times Magazine with Emily, Sex with Emily, talking about people considering open relationships. I think that we need to start asking ourselves really what makes us happy, you know? And even more than that, no, Jade, when we know we're dissatisfied, I want people to ask themselves, if not that, then what? What would you prefer? What would you prefer? Because so many of us get so stuck in chronic dissatisfaction in different areas of our lives that we don't actually know what better looks like or feels like. We're just like, not this, you know? So to go, well, what would you actually prefer? What does that look like? What does that feel like? And for me, that's an integrity check. Because if I'm going to be pulling back from something, I sure as well better know like what it, the why, you know, like for me, that's a clue. I take every clue that I can.
I'm sorry to break into the show, but I wanted to take a second to cover one of our sponsors and tell you all about Paleo Valley at paleovalley.com. These are the grass-fed sticks that I tell you all so much about that all of my friends know I have on hand constantly. They are in my car. They are at my house. I keep them at my sister's home and my parents' house. I have these things everywhere because they are the simplest, most convenient whole foods protein supplement you can get. Almost like carrying around pure protein, low carb protein in your pocket. They also, these Paleo Valley beef sticks are the only 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef sticks on the market. They use organic spices. They are naturally fermented instead of using nitrates and nitrites that can be a problem in some of these cured meats. And they simply taste fantastic. Check out the original or the jalapeno. Those are my favorites. Please make sure you go over to paleovalley.com and visit. When checking out, use the code NEXTLEVEL for a 15% discount. Remember, our sponsors keep the show going by you giving them your patronage and spending your money on these high quality products. You actually do a few things. One, you're helping to support the podcast. And two, you are helping your health. And three, you are making sure that good quality companies like Paleo Valley can be out there doing their business, changing the world, making the earth better. One of the things you may not know about this is that grass fed organic and grass-finished beef is doing something that is so utterly important for our environment, actually helping to repopulate the topsoil. A lot of people don't know this, but our topsoil is being extremely depleted. And raising animals, especially cattle, the correct way helps to get that topsoil back. This is one of the reasons why I love Paleo Valley. Not to mention it tastes fantastic, but they're one of these companies, like my other sponsors, Cured Nutrition and Organifi, that are doing the right things by the environment. I really appreciate everything they do, and I hope you will check them out. Thanks so much. PaleoValley.com. Use the code Next Level. And now back to the show. Yeah. From my perspective, again, this to me is the discussion that, you know, I want to throw out there, because I would answer that question to say you're looking in the wrong place if you're looking at relationships. And that's not to say that romantic relationships aren't beautiful. I just think what we're doing is we're centering our center of gravity for people who want to be happy is oftentimes romantically oriented. And I think that's just absolutely completely wrong. And what it's based on is it's based on, for men, it might be based on power, you know, this old narrative of the trophy wife or something like that. For women, it might be based on, you know, popularity and power, this idea of a rich man, if we're talking about traditional roles. But ultimately, the way I look at this is there's four areas that we seek as humans. We seek power, we seek popularity, we seek pleasure, and then we seek purpose. And from my perspective, none of those are wrong, so long as if you're seeking power, it should be in service of purpose. If you're seeking popularity, it should be in service of purpose. If pleasure and all of that stuff should be in service of purpose. What I think happens, though, is that our need for safety, security, acceptance, and belonging, our childhood wounds, our culture, cultural narrative forces us to go and look for parents that are no longer our parents, which is our lovers. And then we're disappointed in the fact that they cannot be our parent, our mentor, our comic relief, all of this stuff. And then we're back looking at ourselves. Yes. And that is the job that we needed to be doing all along. And to me, it's not judgment. I've done it. Certainly, I told you a little bit about my story. Other people have done it. My contention is, and perhaps you agree or disagree, or people listening agree or disagree, it's really just to get us all thinking. My contention is that the quality of your personal relationships, including your romantic relationships, is never going to exceed sort of the understanding and quality relationship you have with yourself. And if you've never spent the time to actually know what you want, know who you are outside of marriage and kids, because I do think you alluded to this, as soon as you get in a relationship and you now have a spouse and children, that's basically several different dynamics that, if you're not careful, take you from yourself. And then what we do is we blame the other person. We basically go, this person wasn't taking care of me. When really, in the end, it was either the culture narrative you bought into, or unfortunately, we didn't have the opportunity to take care of ourselves and understand ourselves and know ourselves when we were younger.
Personal abandonment. That's what it is.
100%. Yeah. That's a wonderful way to say it from my perspective.
That's what my marriage was personal abandonment, because I wasn't getting everything I needed as far as, like, on an emotional level. But ever since I was really little, my best role, like, that I could play all the time, was very happy with very little. And I'm a super optimistic person. So, like, I'm relentlessly optimistic that, like, today's the day that, like, I'm going to get the love back, because I just need a little. And then, like, because then I just want to, like, shower the person's love again, right? So over the years, by saying I was happy, by telling myself I was happy without getting that thing that, like, I really, really need, was subscribing to shame about that thing that I need, right? And saying, okay, well, like, I shouldn't need that, or it's not that important, or, you know, I won't ever have anybody who will give that to me, you know, whatever, you know, whisper down the lane. It's like whatever one you pick. And it's so easy to stay when you're like, I don't know if anybody would give that. Am I okay to even want that? So that consistent personal abandonment was happening. But then in my professional life, so in 2019, I retired from coaching figure skating, synchronized skating, which is the most obscure discipline of figure skating. It's the only one that doesn't go to the Olympics. I like going into the most complex thing. So in 2019, I retired from synchronized skating after 23 years as a coach and choreographer and director to focus on my writing. And I vowed to myself that I would make new mistakes only, that I would take all of the blood, sweat, and fucking tears that went into that. I'd grown one of the world's biggest synchronized skating organizations from scratch. So I was like, I will take this wisdom with me and I will drop the, like, the old patterns and repetitive things that, like, I know not to step in that trap anymore. Right. So I wanted to get a shirt, new mistakes only. Okay. So the relationships that I've brought into my life and the way I've up-leveled my friendships and the way that some relationships have fallen away in the past, I guess it's 4 years now, right? Since I left skating, I am now interacting with people on a different level of integrity than where some of my long-term relationships are. And my marriage was one of those that I kept trying really, like, to, you know, we're going to go deeper, we're going to go higher, like, you know, tried to grow. And I say Swing is the book, the story of rehabbing my shabby marriage. And it was, but then our family grew and we needed, or no, I grew. I guess I grew. I grew. And then I needed a different relationship to hold me. I didn't, like, I was shrinking so small to be in that house and in that marriage and in the family. I was always, like, on the outskirts so, like, he could shine, right? And he was like, but he would be the kind of golden boy who, like, would just walk around like he doesn't really care. You know what I mean? Like, sort of, like, like, make way for him. So he's Greek Orthodox. So just for people who haven't read the book yet, he was raised in a very traditional Greek Orthodox family, and I was raised in a progressive Canadian family. And I didn't know. Like, I was 21 years old. I, like, didn't even know, like, what a mama's boy was. Like, no idea. So it's actually quite gracious that, like, we had a pretty great life together, right? For 20 years. But yeah, those ideas, those different perspectives coming in, Jade. And I can't remember what we were just talking about.
Well, I mean, one of the things that it's making me think of, though, is it makes me think, like, what you're essentially saying. So if we follow sort of your thread, right, mm-hmm. you wrote this book, Swing, about rehabbing your marriage, yeah. right? And then you said, and this to me is my contention. And then you said, and then my family grew, but then you corrected yourself and said, no, I grew, right? And to me, this to me is the entire point. And this is, see, I didn't know this, I had not known your recent sort of things that have happened in your marriage. But one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, because, you know, there's this idea, if you're going to rehab anything, from my perspective, it's really about reestablishing, you know, sort of the rules. And oftentimes in reestablishing rules, we essentially go, well, we have to stay together. And to me, what I was going to say to you, or at least want to have a conversation about, is, do you always have to stay together? Because I didn't know, you know, that you all decided not to stay together. And to me, right. my point in relationships is this. They're beautiful and wonderful because they're catalysts for growth. Whether you stay together or not, ultimately a successful relationship to me is one that elevates you to your next higher level self.
Absolutely.
And so from my perspective, I'm like, it doesn't bother someone like me. And I know, you know, you and I are talking to a diverse, you know, group of listeners who have different takes on this. And from my perspective, Next Level Human, this podcast is really about just getting people to think. And so what's cool about talking to someone like Ashley and then me and you having this dialogue is to get them to go, oh, here's Jade and Ashley, these two people talking who've had different experiences, mm-hmm. who see relationships perhaps differently. And I just want to look at this from a different perception. So what I've heard you say, and then I'll shut up here in a minute, what I've heard you say is that growth, this was growth. When you wrote Swing, it was about you understanding, okay, And this is a question. It will come across like a statement, but it's really a question. So I'm phrasing it as a statement, though. But to me, it seems like when you wrote Swing, it was this idea of, like, I'm growing inside of this container and trying to figure out how to deal with a situation that I'm not exactly happy with, but I'm not necessarily going to give up. And I have some tools in which I can balance this out in a sense. And you grew within that. And now it seems as if, and you'll probably write another book that sort of makes this transition, you're still growing. And now you see it slightly different. But the difference is that Ashley has elevated, hopefully. And here's how I know you've elevated, right? And because to me, I go, when you spot your repeated patterns, recurrent obstacles, stuck emotions, and you go no more, like we're hearing you go new mistakes only. To me, that tells me you're growing. Now, if you said, if I didn't hear that, maybe I might be like, ooh, Ashley, maybe she's not in growth mode. But from my perspective, you saying that means like, oh, here's a woman deep in growth mode, who is probably was in growth mode with swing and is in growth mode now. And to me, that's the point. So I guess what I'm saying is, and I want your feedback on it. To me, I go, a successful relationship is not necessarily a relationship that lasts, quote, lasts. A successful relationship is where the two people involved in a relationship grew and expanded themselves. And sometimes, not always, sometimes that means they go their separate ways because they've grown in different directions.
And that is why it would be really great if we didn't have kids with the people we married, because with the kids, like there's this, or we can just maybe, because I think this is more likely, Jade, maybe we can just loosen the narrative around, and it has been a little, but still, that divorce is going to negatively affect the kids. Like
Is it though?
I mean, no, because here's the thing.
Doesn't that depend on the choices of the parents?
I have three boys. And the issue in my marriage was being married to a Greek man. I didn't realize fully until I had a son who was taller than me that Manny would always treat men with more respect than he would treat me. Because I would like ask for things and he'd be like, oh yeah, I'll try better. Like, you know, it was like never like a hard no. It was like I forgot, I'll try that. Like, but then when our son entered high school, our oldest, entered high school, it was like I could feel my spot on the family totem pole. And I was like, hell no. What? I'm doing all this for that. No, fuck. No, that we're not doing that. So in order for my husband to treat me as a full human 100% of the time, I can't be a woman living in his house. If I am a woman living in his house, there is this unconscious conditioning and bias that just floats up around what the dynamic should be like. And this idea too, and this is kind of deep and shadowy, because like in swing, I did this love letter exercise, Jade. Okay. Like really just like dousing myself with love. What I've been doing lately is this supervillain exercise, that when I feel bad about something that I want or a choice that I made or want to, I write out, yeah, what if I'm like so bad? What if I'm so bad? Like everybody I know turns away from me. This, I lose all my money. I lose my house, right? Like, oh yeah, like total catastrophe. Do I still want what I want? Do I? And just, it is, and my stomach just growled when I was about to say it's a gut check. It's a gut check to face all of those fears that are like mostly fucking imaginary, right? But to feel them and go through that process, I think it alchemizes that fear. I think it like drops a lot of the resistance, because you're like, what do I want? It could be that doesn't matter. But like, I don't have fears around it. You know what I mean? Like what will happen will happen.
But I want to jump in real quick and tell you about one of my favorite new products. And to start out, I want to ask you a question. If you had to follow your friends around who are not the healthiest in the world and see what they are doing, what would be the number one thing you would probably tell them to do to start? For most people, that's going to be drinking more water, right? This is something that we talk about all the time in health and fitness. It's almost as if we think of it as an afterthought now, because obviously water is so crucial. However, we oftentimes get this wrong. For example, did you know that when it comes to hydration, just drinking water can make things worse? Most people don't know this. Why? Partly because most people are over drinking water and under consuming the electrolytes that help water do its job. What we don't realize is that hydration is not just about water. It's about electrolytes, the minerals in there, as well as getting that water into the cells. And so you do not want to be over consuming water if you're not getting your electrolytes right. And this opens up a whole new discussion because most people are not getting their electrolytes right. For example, did you know that low sodium, too low sodium is an issue? Just as much, if not more so, than high sodium. In other words, what we want if we're going to get the right electrolytes is to get the right amount of sodium and potassium and magnesium in the Goldilocks zone. We don't want too much. We don't want too little. We want it just right. This opens up a whole other thing here too, because people who are exercising, doing sauna therapies, doing low carb diets are disrupting and losing lots and lots of their electrolytes. For example, when insulin is not around in low carb diets, you will excrete lots of sodium. In other words, under that state, exercising, low carb diets, all these things, you actually need more sodium. And so if you're somebody who has been just drinking water, not paying attention to electrolytes, and also feeling fatigued, feeling like you're underperforming, not sleeping right, getting cramps, twitches, headaches, any of these things, then you are probably dealing with an electrolyte issue. This is where the product Element comes in. This product has been a game changer for me and many, many of my patients and clients. This is a rehydration electrolyte beverage, basically. It is a powder of electrolytes formulated with 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams magnesium without the added sugar and other nonsense that comes in beverages like Gatorade. This stuff is basically a rehydration beverage on steroids. It is the thing that is going to replenish your electrolytes in the right ratios, decrease fatigue, really correct chronic dehydration. And by the way, many people are dehydrating themselves, becoming hyponatremic, low sodium, when they're consuming too much water. You need your electrolytes on board, especially if you are someone who is losing lots of sodium and other electrolytes through low carb diets and lots of exercise. This is where Element comes in. Element is a new sponsor to the Next Level Human podcast. I cannot recommend this product enough. I have been using this stuff for months now, and I have immediately seen changes in my energy levels. I feel like I'm operating on a whole other level, and I have seen this as being the primary thing that people who have been using Element have been telling me, that their fatigue is getting better, especially fatigue that comes after very intense workouts that involve lots of sweating and lots of intense output from the nervous system. Please check out Element. Use the code NEXTLEVEL. Drinkelement.com. That's DRINKELMNT.com. Drinkelement.com, and let's get back to the show. Yeah, to me, it speaks to how complicated these things can be. But you talked about the idea of alchemizing. To me, I go. You wouldn't be. And I guess this is the thing that confuses people. I go, it's fine. In other words, what we do is we go, look, I'm in a relationship, and it's a success if it lasts, and it's a failure if it ends. And to me, I go, when it's a success in my book, and this doesn't mean that anyone needs to agree with me, but it's a success in my book, if you do what you're doing, you're essentially growing from this. When you say I'm alchemizing a particular thing, I'm looking at my fears. This is a very stoic thing, by the way. It's this idea of like, let me think of worst case scenario and best case scenario. And can I handle that? And what do my values say about this?
Both. Because that's the thing, Jade. I will take myself down that road of like worst case scenario, feel all of the feelings around it, right? I usually do it with a journal in bed. So my bed sheets are like stained with like Paper Mate Flair pen colors all over. It's like polka dot Right. Because I usually fall asleep because I get so tired of the imagining. But then I sleep very well, so I can imagine again the next day. But because that's basically my job as a storyteller, which like 6-year old me would be dying, you know, that this is my life. But with the imagining, it is actually the imagining what I really, 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 really want that brings on the most terror. Okay. So it's like blah, blah, blah. Like pick your poison, like start in the middle and work in both directions, as Elizabeth Gilbert says, because you have stuff to learn. There are edges all over. And we all have them. And instead of shying away from them, what I've been doing is like leaning right in. You know, when I have a negative thought that comes in, and my inner critic is really squeaky, like that, like, I don't know, it's like a bratty teenage girl. I don't know, because I love teenage girls, but mine. And what I do, Jade, I act like I'm grabbing it from my pocket and I go, say that to my face. Say it. Right. And if I pause for a second, I always hear it. And I go, well, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Whatever it is, right? And so for a long time, I would like, the best I could do is say, well, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. You're telling me it is, but I don't know. You know, you're awful. You're horrible, whatever it is, right? You're lazy. Okay, so I would sit it on my computer like a little elf on the shelf. It's not really there. This is fake, okay, people? It's like, okay, you're going to sit right there and I'm going to type this email anyway, because I'm not sure that you're right. And then over time, when I hear this, like whenever I get a little flutter in my stomach, or whenever I get like a, you know, something from my body, I go, wait, what's that? And then it just drops in and it's like, oh, now I look at it and I'm like, holy shit, what if that is true? And then I flip it around and I go, and what if the opposite is true? What if? And just the way, because like, I have a lot of courage and optimism, but like, I don't actually have a lot of like natural confidence. Like I'm scared all the time, but I just love going out in the world so much that I do it. And I love people so much. But just knowing the difference between hearing instead of ignoring that feeling in your body and investigating it. Just think of like every time that happens, it's like death by a thousand cuts. Like you're just letting your ego like just be a hazard in your body, right? It's there to tell you, hey, there's a thing for you to pay attention to. So that's why
and that's where the new mistakes only thing exactly. kind of comes from, right? It's this mm-hmm. idea of like, okay, my internal, you know, sort of a struggle is speaking to me all of the time. How do I know how to make sense of this? Well, I know based on repeated patterns, recurrent obstacles, stuck emotions, if these things keep coming up again and again and again, then I need to listen to them and I need to do something different. And it sounds like ultimately that's what you've been attempting to do. It sounds like you were doing this in swing when you were, you know, sort of maneuvering through this. And it sounds like you're doing this now. And what I'd like to do is just sort of switch into for the listener to start troubleshooting this, because obviously it's not that people like you and I necessarily have all the answers. It's that people like you and I are speaking about the problem. So we don't necessarily have
speaking about the questions. That's what I think.
Speaking about the questions. Exactly.
That's what we're doing in the world right now. That's what I think. I'm a steward of a question. And I want to be a good steward of that question and like host a conversation around it, right?
Right, 100%.
Like how to keep marriage exciting, right?
Yeah.
Like
well, let's talk about that a little bit. How? So I know that you're just you, but you spent an awful lot of time. Here's why you're an expert on this from my perspective. You spent an awful lot of time being in a relationship, and it sounds like as long as you were choosing to be there, it was still generating some growth and something useful for you. And so you found a way. In maybe an imperfect relationship, which in my mind, all relationships are, no relationship is completely perfect, to, you know, essentially keep some aspects of this alive so you could learn. So let's talk about that first. And then I want to talk about, you know, sort of this transition out, which you're just beginning to experience. Yeah. So Talk to us a little bit about, you know, I don't know, the 3 to 5 things that you were doing inside a relationship to vet. Because obviously to me, I go, you're kind of vetting. Is this thing going to work long term? You know, how can I love and learn and listen and be present? What are these techniques rather than just getting caught in the negative spiral of things? So what can people begin to do in their long-term relationships, both to keep them exciting and or to vet whether they should stay or go?
Okay. Well, I love that you asked those two questions. So we're going to start with the vet first. Okay. So the two things that I was talking about, like the best case scenario, worst case scenario, super villain, the whole thing, like I get exactly what I want. Like, you know, my show wins an Emmy, right? Like based on swing, whatever. But my kids don't talk to me anymore for some reason. I don't know. I don't know why, but it's like, do I want? And it's like, no, I want my kids. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're like, no. Something that is non-negotiable for me is I want a relationship with my kids. So it's like, it's this like values ladder that's like more like a jungle gym, right? Knowing what you fucking care about and knowing what's fucking important to you, regardless of what other people think about it, is our barometer for whether or not we're going to stay in relationships and if we need to set a boundary or not. So if we don't know what the fuck we really prefer, then we're not going to be able to set clear boundaries.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Right. And then we have to have that conversation with our partner to essentially say, look, this is what I'm trying to create. This is what I want, you know, in my life. And they either are going to show up and, you know, because one of the things I think great partners dream the dream with you, or they don't. And
they do. So I think great partners, and listen, I don't know, do you follow Layla and Alex Hormozy on Instagram?
That's funny. People? That's funny you say that. I don't normally pay attention, but Alex Hormozy posted something today that was about loyalty from his wife. I don't know if you saw that. That just really landed on me. And I was just like, he's absolutely right about
just
that.
Just today. Okay, that's so funny because I followed Layla for a while, but I was like, I don't think I'm going to like Alex. He's very, very muscular. And that was so good for me to see, like, my subconscious bias around, like, I'm not going to learn anything from him. Holy. He's very, very bright. So Layla Hormozy. Okay. So this is the thing, vetting relationships. Now, Layla Hormozy gives this business advice that any team member you bring into your business that you want to stay long-term has to be able to see their dream fit inside of yours. Very clear, right? Very clear, right? Same thing for a marriage. Say, like, your dreams need to continue to, you know what? Actually, I'm thinking, Jade, I think that there's naturally an evolution of what we want. And a lot of people fight that. And I think staying in marriages, without really communicating about what's going on keeps us in the same patterns, right? So I think that, asking yourselves, both partners, consistently, what do I really want? And like an up leveling, like I don't want the same things I wanted 6 months ago. Of course I don't. Like, you know, normalizing the growth rather than like criticizing people for inconsistency. Do you know what I mean? Cause that's like a lot of what relationships are. Well, you said, you know, if someone says, hey, I would really like if you would come with me to my parents' house. And then it's like, or I'm mad that you didn't come with me to my parents' house or something, right? See, a woman says this. And then the guy says, well, you told me last time I didn't want you to come. And she's like, yeah, but I was upset about that thing with my sister and I wanted you to come this time. All he needs to say is, oh, okay, I'm going to try to remember that next time. Like, that is actually how easy cooperation is. Like, just we are going to do better moving forward, right? Instead, right? Like, taking as the person who was doing the hurting unintentionally, right? You know, there's the person who's offended and then there's the offender if you're giving like feedback in a relationship, right? And for this person to, instead of getting defensive, to just go, oh, I hear you. I see how those two situations were different. I thought it was the same kind of situation. You're going to your parents' house. now I see it was actually a different situation, and this is how I would support you in that situation. And then if you could even ask a clarifying question, like, oh, okay, well, since you're going to your cousin's later, do you want me to come there? And, oh, okay, no, you're good there. Okay. Like, say, I understand, and then fucking double down and say, yeah, because I'm committed to this. I'm committed to this growth. And I don't expect things to stay the same. Because don't you think we're going to know more about communication in a year than we know now? You know?
Well, if you have a growth-based relationship, but not if you have a you complete me relationship.
As a human, I think we should be evolving that quickly. You know what I used to tell my skaters, Jade? I used to tell them, you're going to be a different skater when you step off the ice in 60 minutes. The only time you will be this skater again is now. Mm-hmm. Because your skating will be different by then. Every single time you train with me, you are going to up level. That's what we're going to do. And sometimes it was physical and sometimes it was emotional, right? Right. Like it wasn't just push. It was like, we're like expanding. Because what are we?
Yeah, what are but we here you know, for? Here's what's interesting about that. You're and this to me, this sort of begins to round this conversation out, because to me, that you saying that to those skaters was essentially telling them you're going to be a growth-based, you know, skater in a sense. You're going to be somebody who learns every time you go out and perform, you're going to learn. And to me, I don't think that we have coaches telling us when every time we have an argument or every time we're involved with our significant other, someone should say, hey, by the way, you're going to be, you have the potential to be a better partner and or and what I would say is even more important is that you have a potential to be a better you. To me, I go, there's several different ways we can treat each other, right? There's the golden rule of like, hey, treat Ashley as you want to be treated.
Hey, wait, pause right there, Jade. Okay, because this is the fundamental misunderstanding. Jade, if you and I were in partnership, the fundamental misunderstanding that so many people hold is that if I change my behavior to support you, if I mold to support you, that somehow I'm degrading myself. You know, it's like this, like that you only can do that so often, instead of like, oh yeah, for me to support you, in some ways I'm going to become a better version of myself, because like, that's not my default to do things that way. And I'm going to be more mindful. Do you know what I'm saying?
Certainly. Yes. That's a potential. And see, to me, that's ultimately what we should be doing. The way I look at this though, and we have to be careful about that, because you can easily give over yourself and drain yourself and then find out later, oh, I've got to leave because I didn't do what I needed to do. To me, in every relationship, there's three people. There's you, right? So we'll use me and you as an example. If we're in partnership, there's Ashley, there's Jade. We're two individuals. And then there's the person in the middle, the Ashley Jade. Okay. That's a third entity. It's a third personality. And what happens is that Ashley Jade in the middle, I call it you, me, and you, me in the middle, that you, me in the middle is ultimately what is the third personality. And if you begin to pour too much of your energy, if Ashley pours too much of her energy into the Ashley Jade dynamic, right?
Yeah.
She begins to lose herself. Now, the idea is not to put, you know, you don't pull all your energy out. You sustain this, but you also have to understand that Jade, the other person, has to put in a certain amount as well. And to me, the universe does work on the law of reciprocation. It just doesn't need to come directly from the other person. But the point is, you have to sustain this identity in the middle. If you give too much, and this goes to some of Adam Grant's work and the giver taker reciprocity styles, if someone is a taker and you are a giver, they will drain the hell out of you and you will have to leave. And so this idea then is, it's a vetting, right? It's a vetting thing here. So that dynamic, that person in the middle needs to grow both, needs to energize both, needs to support both. As soon as that dynamic begins to break down, and this is the cultural narrative of just stick it out. To me, I go, if you are both, you know, like you said to your skaters, if you're both committed to a growth-based relationship, not a you complete me-based relationship. To me, the Jerry Maguire you complete me is just bullshit. It's about growth. And when you have growth, then you have to be in agreement. And at that point, if someone is not growing and or you're not growing, you can definitely give and take and receive and go back and forth constantly. But over time, that dynamic in the middle must support both people. If it doesn't, the relationship will either be unhappy or it'll end.
Absolutely. There has to be the balance, because when there's more energy in than output, it's just your relationship will exhaust you.
100%. Like, 100%. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing. They find themselves in that position because they didn't, for example, start with, we're going to be in growth together. And that might mean that we end up with a, it does mean we will end up in a different relationship. It also might mean we might end up outside of relationships, but at least we'll both be better off. And to me, this doesn't mean I'm right, but this to me is the better model of this. And, you know, I just completed this particular book. It's going to be out next year. That's called You Grow Me, that basically takes on this whole identity of the You Complete Me model, which I think is wrong, but it doesn't mean I'm right, which is why I wanted to have this conversation with you.
I think, Jade, it's like, I agree 100%. You have to grow each other. You have to. Well, I don't know. I'm a growth mindset person. I guess, are there some people who want to stay the same? Maybe.
Yes, sure. I would argue most people do.
Okay, cool. Then, because I'm like, I can't comprehend. Mm-hmm. I can't. I'm like, underneath, you really are craving. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So
I think that's true too. I think underneath they are craving, but familiarity is, we'll always go back to what's familiar, and our fears oftentimes win. That's to me the beauty of a relationship. A real beauty of a relationship is to be like, look, I'm afraid, right? I'm afraid, mm-hmm. or I'm a human. So I'm going to be afraid. You're a human. You're going to be afraid. Together, we can support each other so that we're less afraid. Instead of together, we're just going to hunker down and be afraid together.
Ugh. That's hitting me, Jade. That is.
So let's, you know, so we're right up on the hour. I want to be respectful of your time, but given everything you're going through, because it looks like, you know, we're meeting at a time where you're in transition. And this is really cool, because I wasn't aware that this is where you were. And so, you know, you're definitely still on your journey. And I'm just wondering, any thoughts you have, you know, in terms of just thoughts you just want to share that are your own, that you just want to discuss, or anything you want to share with the listener that you feel like is important, that they can take from understanding your journey. And of course, just remember, everybody, Ashley is a writer and she's an author. And so she has processed this for you all in her book. The book is actually called Swing, and she's probably, it looks like you're going to be writing others. But if you really want to understand more about her sort of journey, in the past, you can, you know, look at Swing, but I'm just wondering where your thought is now. It's going to be fun. You know, you and I first meeting each other. Now it's going to be fun to follow up and, you know, be able to keep in touch and see where things go. Yeah.
See where things go. Exactly. So here's the thing that I really learned in my marriage from writing Swing and sharing the story, and then having all these videos about keeping monogamy hot. And there was a period of time where I was reaching a million people a day. Hmm. I really learned what integrity felt like. I really learned, like, am I walking the walk? Yeah, I am. No. Oh, you know, shift. Wait a minute. I say that kind of thing, but do we really do that? Do we do that? I would ask my partner, even like, do I say that I do this? Do I? And some of it was bedroom stuff, but more it was like the way we talk to each other. Right? Because our communication had got so much better. Our communication had got so much better. So when we got to a point where I knew our communication was solid, but he was just throwing up these really passive aggressive roadblocks around a lot of things, it was like when I started making more money, we started fighting about money. Like when we shouldn't, it was just a really weird dynamic that I never anticipated, because I anticipated we had relative ease around money. We'd never thought about money. So I thought, oh my God. And when I grow my publishing and media things, like I had grown my skating organization that I ran as a nonprofit, that wow, we're going to have even more ease around this and more. Oh, but it didn't work that way. Right. So it was like, wait a minute. What is this power play? Why is there a power play here? Right. Okay. So coming out of this relationship, I'm like, okay, the integrity that I learned, and when I was able to go, wait, this doesn't match with what I want. And I know that I'm worthy of what I want. That's basically what I learned since swing is, no, I'm worthy of what I want. I'm not a psychopath. I'm not a crazy person who's like insatiable. No, like I want a nice house and I want my partner to celebrate my work. And when I'm having conversations with my kids, I don't want people changing the subject. Hmm. Like these are the things I want. And more milkshakes. I've been going to get milkshakes. So I'm like driving more to like get the kids and back and forth. And I was like, who wants McDonald's? Like, am I a teenager? What is happening? Anyway, so it's all of this, like, I'm being a real rebel. Like, I'm having milkshakes, Jade. So, but for me, you know, someone who's been like so disciplined their whole life, like that feels like rebellion, you know? So coming into this new phase, I want to just keep my integrity front and center, and not rush into anything professionally or personally, which is hard because my favorite speed is fast. Mm. It's the leap that's so exciting for me. That's why I like started a lot of businesses. I have like, I don't know. I launched so many different things last year. Just like the new idea is my favorite. You know what I mean? So having awareness around that too, getting into relationships to like vet and feel like, is this something that'll maybe last a while? But the way I'm thinking about relationships, I do not want to get married again, Jade. Hmm. I cannot. And I think also that I very much enjoy living without a husband. So I don't think I want to share this house. I don't think I want a man living here. It would have to be. Well, until a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I never will a man sleep over. Right? I was like, suitors may visit, but no one is sleeping in my bed. Right? So, but lately I'm like, no. Like all of the things that I'm looking at are like, they're never an either or, right? It's like, I don't want the energy or the feeling of like, sharing a space in my schedule with a man, like the things that rubbed up against me in a way that didn't feel good. I don't want to carry that into the next thing. Right. But like every situation is different. People are different. It's like more of like an energy of freedom, right? Like it's more of the essence of what I want. Mm. Like I love waking up whenever I want. I love it. And like sometimes I'm up at 4:30 and sometimes I'm up at 9:30. And that causes shame for me, Jade, that I have to then go, but it's okay, actually. Like, actually, it's okay. You know? So, like, things like that, like, really giving yourself freedom to do the things that are nurturing to you. Because I think a lot of us don't know and are, you know, we have responsibilities to other people during the day that I don't think we check in with ourselves enough. Because I think the wisdom that we're looking for is right, like, you know, it's right in your gut.
Yeah. And I think what you're speaking to from my final thoughts on this is what you're speaking to from my perspective is this idea of who are we going to be authentic to? Are we going to be authentic to our past selves? Are we going to be authentic to our current selves? Or are we going to be authentic to our future next level human selves? And that future next level human self, from my perspective, is the one that you feel in your gut. It's the one that, you know, Ashley referred to as that gut feeling of, I want to grow. I don't want to stay the same. I know I want to matter and make a difference. And I do want to, you know, sort of get past my old patterns and all of these things. And to me, that's what I think is interesting about everyone's story. Your story is unique. My story is unique. All the listeners' stories are unique. But what is the thing underneath it that is the same for all of us is it is a desire to matter, to make a difference, to grow past our old patterns, our stuck emotions, our recurrent obstacles, and to become the purpose potential that we're here to do. And to me, that's what your journey is about. That's what you were writing about in Swing. That's probably what you're going to write about next. This show that you're working on, to me, that's what it's, you know, in its essence, that's what it's about. It's about this idea of, I'm growing so that I can grow Ashley, you know, so that I can enrich others. You're obviously wanting to touch others. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing this so that I can better the world, which, you know, any beautiful human, loving human wants to make that contribution. And to me, we're all doing that. And the degree to which our relationships serve that is beautiful. And the degree to which our relationships don't serve that, maybe they're not as useful as we thought, regardless of what culture thinks.
And I have a final thought that relates to that. A question that I used to ask myself a lot was, the thought that would come, the fear that would come into my mind is that the things I was doing wouldn't make my parents proud. Mm. Okay. Classic, you know, we all have like some version probably or around that. And the way I reframed it, because I was like, I don't know if that'll make your parents proud. I don't know. And so I said, instead of asking myself that question, I'm going to ask, what would make my kids brave? Mm. What actions can I take to be loyal forward? Okay. So instead of asking, who am I going to piss off with this decision? Ask yourself, who am I going to empower? Who am I going to pave the way for? So they can go, I saw you do it. Or when I saw you do that, I knew that there was a possibility someday I could do this. Like be the potential, right? Be the potential for people.
Be the example, be the experience. That's what I oftentimes think, you know, we are an experience and an example for the world. Set it. Be the human, you know, that you feel called to be and inspire others in doing that. And especially when you have children, right?
Yeah. Abs. I mean, that's where I can't waver. Hmm. You know, I can't. And as a mom, figuring out where my responsibility for raising good boys into good men, figuring out where that responsibility starts and ends is a very, very difficult examination for me. Mm. Because looking at like the way I feel and then what maybe my mother-in-law would say and what this subsection of society would say and blah, 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 blah. The answer is it never starts or ends everywhere. It's all encompassing. It's all your fault. Mm. Right? So I started looking at, okay, let's take a look at this. If I want to just empower myself to say, okay, wait a minute. Did I make the smartest decisions I could? Did I do the best job I could? Because our kids are going to be themselves. They're going to be their own humans. And a lot of me was staying in my marriage to try to make sure I could teach my kids the way I wanted to. But what I realized was I think I'm actually a more responsible mother leaving a marriage that does not meet the standard that I want for my children in the world. That standard that I just think with my full heart is going to be what is going to, like, you know, an awareness and a consciousness that's going to help them connect with people, you know, as their true selves. I couldn't stay. Because I want them to know that two humans together as partners will have a lot of areas they're really, really good at. My husband and I were good at so many things. We're good at co-parenting. We're still good at taking family vacations together and doing dinners and game nights with the kids. Like we are still the same fun. We have more fun now. Okay. Because and my husband and I both like avoiding conflict, so we can like really put it away for like that time and really enjoy ourselves, right? And when they see us discussing something or something that like might have been an argument before, they see us both treating each other with a different level of respect. They see a different, healthier dynamic than they used to before, you know?
And that's powerful. That could be,
I think,
super powerful. Ashley, how do people find you? And if they want to get more of you, more of your personality, more of your work, I know the book is Swing. That's your very popular book. Mm-hmm. Where can they find you online? And just tell everyone they can get more of you.
Yeah, you can find me at Ashley Renard on Instagram. And Ashley has all the extra letters in it. A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H. And yeah, I have Swing, which has been optioned for film and we're looking for the lead actress right now. And I have Keeping It Hot, the workbook, which actually its birthday is, here, June 14th. So we're right about that birthday time.
Nice.
And yeah, send me a DM there. Tell me that you heard me on Jade's podcast. I would love to chat with you. Let me know what really hit home. Yeah, I just love, because every time I sit down with someone, it's a different dynamic and different words come out of my mouth. You know what I mean? I can tell the same story 100 different ways, like depending what angle we're looking at, right? For the inquiry. So yeah, I would love people to come say hi.
Yeah, and I'm just so appreciative of you sharing. So thank you so much. Hang on, just so we can talk a bit offline, Ashley. And for all of you, thank you for hanging out, and see you at the next show.
You have been listening to the Next Level Human podcast with Dr. Jade Tita. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you subscribe and consider leaving a review. You make the biggest difference when you pass on your lessons and inspire others. That's why reviews like this are so powerful. Your words may be the only ones that resonate for someone else. Please remember, the information in this podcast is for educational purposes only. Always consult your personal physician or therapist before making any lifestyle changes. And finally, thank you for who you are in the world and the difference you make.